All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Weigh Enough Podcast with Short and Snarky Rowing. We're your hosts and masters of ceremony, the Short and Snarky Coxswains. I'm Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. Today, we've got some great guests on. We're going to be talking with Meredith Brayland and Jameson Howland at Concept 2. You may know them from the ERGs, the torture devices found in your boathouse. And we're going to hear a little bit more about the company and about their rowing background and talk to them about some fun rowing topics.
Absolutely. And again, this week, we're not going to do a top news story because we do have such interesting and awesome guests. So we will just get right to the content.
So Meredith, Jameson, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. It's a little bit snowy here in Vermont, and hopefully we'll get on the water sometime this spring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're so thankful that you guys are on with us today. We are not worthy.
You're worthy.
Okay, thanks, Jameson. That was very nice. So we just kind of let everybody know that you guys are from Concept 2. So if you guys want to kind of tag team it and tell us a little bit about yourselves and your rowing backgrounds.
Sure. My name is Meredith Brayland. I work here in marketing at Concept 2. I believe I'm going on my 8th or 9th year here. And I joined Concept 2 after finishing up an MBA degree in the Boston area at Babson College. My rowing background is that I started in high school in my junior year when I finally had my license and could go to a local club. So I was the only high school member from my actual high school. And then I was recruited to be at Cornell, where I rowed for 3 years till an injury took me out.
Oh.
Then it happens. And I actually switched to triathlon and quite a few other sports and marathon running for many years, and then got back involved with rowing here at Concept 2, and it's really fun to return to the sport. And since then, have married a very accomplished master's rower and have been learning to scull, so it has its own challenges. And I now have a 2-year-old who is the youngest future sculler at Concept 2.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, as some unaccomplished master scullers like us, we do appreciate the difficulty in learning to scull, especially when you're an adult.
Absolutely. And what about you, Jameson?
Yeah, so my rowing background, I'm probably getting in trouble here. I have never on water rowed. I know, right? And my main background with the ERG started with CrossFit, which I'm sure for some of your listeners is going to be like rolled the eyes right now. And I understand it is a cult. But that being said, I did start using an ERG, I guess somewhat more right after college, and I had no idea what I was doing. Damper setting 10, you know, just cranking on as hard as I could. And, you know, luckily ended up actually living in the same state as this company is. And I just started here, I guess, about 7 or 8 months ago now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm pretty new here. I would probably be the newest person here. I do a lot of social media and mostly customer service, though, throughout the day.
Excellent. Well, we forgive you for not being a part of rowing, but you do have, like, at least 3 months to get into it, otherwise...
Before everything melts.
Yeah.
True.
So Concept 2 is one of those companies. This is really kind of the stuff of legends where, you know, we've got these two brothers in a barn in Vermont building these ergs out of an old bicycle flywheel. But I'd love to know how the company really got going and... you know, really how much of that legend is true and fact from fiction. We'd love to hear about it.
Sure. So we are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year, which is very exciting.
Wow.
The company was founded on November 6th in 1976. And Peter and Dick are the two brothers who started Concept 2, and they still work with us side by side here at the company.
Wow.
They're very involved with the day-to-day operations, and we've obviously grown quite big since then. We'll be addressing quite a few of the facts and fiction on some of our 40th anniversary materials, but in general, it's all true. They were very young and looking to row, and we're looking for an edge in rowing, and so first we're tinkering with oars. And that's how the business really started, when they realized they had a product they could sell. It was only after a few winters here in Vermont that they realized they needed a way to train throughout the winter. And that's when they actually took a, I believe it was a Huffy bicycle, and nailed it to the floor of a barn that they had bought. And that's the legend of the Erg, is how it all started. And that morphed into the Model A, and now we're on to the Models D, E, and Dynamic.
Wow. No, that, wow, that's an really awesome cool. story.
So how many Ergs do you guys sell in a normal year?
So we're a very private company, mainly because it is a family-run business. I think what a lot of rowers don't always realize is how big the market is outside of rowing. So CrossFit's a more recent trend, but even before that, health clubs worldwide have always been buying an erg or two. So most YMCAs, most health clubs also have machines. And that's also a small portion of just the people who have them in their own homes. So, there's definitely a much bigger world than just the on-water rowing segment.
Absolutely. Growing up, my dad, who is not a rower, always had a, and really, really must have been a Model A. It was one of the first ones, and it had that bike flywheel. And to give you an idea of how long ago this was back in probably the 80s, and the workout room at our house had white carpeting on the walls and this Model A erg. So it's a little trip down memory lane to think about that.
Well, and I was going to say, the ergs being in the gyms and stuff, I mean, there's no stranger to that. There's so many people that are in there, and I just remember cringing looking at people rowing, and I'm like, oh, you're not doing that right. So I can definitely resonate with that piece of it.
Well, I'll say it's funny you say that, and just go back to what Meredith was saying about, you know, the two owners who are, you know, working here side by side. They're also working out side by side, and I, you know, my first couple weeks, and well, still now, I'm definitely not a perfect erg user, but definitely gained a lot of tips, and just from, you know, just trying to, you know, monkey see, monkey do in the workout room. Side note, my goal in the open category of Crash Bees this weekend is to actually be, you know, the owners who are many decades older than me, and I don't think that's going to happen, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you got your homework set out for you. Get on the erg.
It's going to be an F on the homework, probably.
So a question about that would be, so you guys obviously have access to so many workouts and so many different just drills or whatever. What makes a good erg workout? Like, what makes a complete erg workout or anything about that?
That's a good question. I think the best workout is one that motivates you, and that's very different across the board. Some people really just like to row for, you know, a warm-up, which I think is a disappointment, but other people like to do very strategic workouts that they're trying to transfer to on-water power, and that, in fact, could be done on the dynamic, which is more specific to on-water speed. I don't know. You have probably seen quite a few more workouts, Jameson, recently, given that you're more new to the sport.
Yeah. So step in as far as, like, what I see as a good workout, both as far as, I guess, my own training, specifically for rowing and not for rowing, is a good workout for me, definitely, that I get the most out of is something that's miserable. Okay. And also something that really applies to what I'm doing. So when I'm training for, you know, Crash Bees, I'm not doing a bunch of 10Ks, but if, you know, a lot more like quick intervals and sprints. But, you know, I do a lot of sports outside of you know, using the erg, and I will then transfer over to what I'm doing. So I think workouts really depend on, a good workout really depends on kind of what you're training for, which is kind of a cop-out of an answer, I guess.
Although, that being said, I think one segment of the rowing population, which is sort of fascinating to me, that there are a lot of people out there who are just going for distance. Mm-hmm. And so we have a million meter club where we recognize people who have rowed 1 million meter or more. But those people usually keep going. So like Jameson and I are saying, it's whatever floats your boat. But there are people who in their lifetime have rowed at this point upwards of 50 or 80 million meters. And all they're doing is, that is their goal, is to row long and long and longer.
Yeah, wow. I love to look at your website with all the rankings and the distances people have on there. And, you know, I will say this. I am a huge fan. This is for our listeners. If you have not been on the Concept 2 website, the workout of the day is brilliant because you get a bunch of different options. And they've got the multiple million meters. You can see how people are doing toward challenges. And Concept 2's got, I think especially in the wintertime, you guys do a really great job of engaging the users, and the website's really good.
What I loved about the Concept 2 website, you guys had the workout of the day. I love to find the medium one and the hard one, and just depending on what kind of mood I was in for the day when I was coaching, that's what I would subject the kids to. Sorry, guys. I know that I just admitted to that live on the air, all the kids that I used to coach, and my bad.
Oh, I do it all the time. I coach a master's team, and if I can't think of a workout for the day, I just go on the Concept 2 website, and we pull one off, and we do it. So
absolutely.
It's a great resource for anybody, rowing and otherwise, but especially for rowers in the wintertime.
Absolutely. Thanks for the plug.
You're welcome.
No, it is really good. And we both genuinely really like the website. You guys did a great job with it.
No, the website's really awesome. And you know, you have a whole bunch of, that's why I love the workout of the day. And I don't know if those are inspired by, the two brothers, or if you guys kind of all collectively, since you said, Jameson, that you pick one that makes you miserable, if you're just like, oh, that one was miserable, put that on the website.
Yeah, they do get combed through. We have a team that puts those together. So from time to time, you'll find in our e-newsletter or elsewhere, we'll ask for people's favorite workouts. And definitely on social media, we see some horrible, awesome ones these days.
Oh, yeah. There's some really good ones. And in fact, because we're in the unique situation this winter here in Arizona, our lake, normally we row year-round, but our lake is closed right now for dam repairs, so we don't have any water. And it's sort of like remembering the good old days of winter training in New England, where you don't know when you're going to get back on the water, and we're almost kind of forced to go onto the ergs. And we've got some really, really punishing workouts, and I think our master's team is hoping for that dam to be repaired really soon.
Yeah, they're going to probably start, how much do you guys get paid to fix the dam? I'll get a job there right now. I'll fix it. I'll make sure it's done tomorrow. Yeah, so poor things. But so I know, Jameson, you do a lot of kayaking and stand-up paddleboarding as well as CrossFit stuff. But Meredith, I was going to ask you a couple of funny questions. Like, what's your most embarrassing moment for rowing? Whether it happened to you or someone else where you're like, ooh, if you want to maybe,
you know. Gosh, the sport of rowing has been so good to me and yet so cruel. Yeah. I really have many I could share. I guess one that was embarrassing because it was quite public is that in the finals of the end of a major collegiate race, our eight swamped. And I believe that we're not supposed to talk about it ever again, but we had to get rescued by men in scuba suits and all the way. And I was in two seat. It was rather treacherous water. Still to this day, I don't know why it sank, but it sank bow first, and the coxswain politely asked me to keep rowing, although I had water up to my waist. And that definitely was upsetting, and a lot of crying in a very public venue. And I think the thing that stands out to me the most about it is that we were walking on another crew when it happened. So still to this day, I'm like, but we were walking, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hold on to that. And Meredith, so I don't know if you broke a pact or something. Maybe we'll ADR a new name for you on there so that it doesn't look like you broke the pact of not talking about it anymore.
Just out of curiosity, what venue, what river were you on when this happened?
If you want
to share. I was in Connecticut for the EWACRAs. They have a long acronym, but no. You know, the end of the year, and this is before
Sprints.
IV Sprints. It was the collegiate season race that helps you bid for NCAAs.
Yeah, well, right. hold on to the that you were walking on that other crew, and it's not
we're
your fault.
On
yeah,
them.
You were walking on them. Jameson,
don't
do you have
don't need to rat out the other crew, but might have been something orange and big.
No names given.
No names given. And also just, you know, I hope that they know that that victory is not original.
In my mind, they're still.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You've got a gold medal somewhere.
Yeah, you have a gold medal. Jameson, do you have any funny stories or embarrassing stories from what you've seen or what has happened to you on the ERG, besides maybe getting your butt whooped this weekend?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have anything super embarrassing from the ERG. Mostly it would just be, like, looking back at just how stupid I must have looked, because the first time that I used it, I can specifically remember the ERG just sliding, like, 4 feet back straight into the wall as I had the damper on 10 and just continued to pull back. Oh. I'm sure that looked, I thought I looked super buff and strong, but I'm sure anyone was at the gym had ever used a rowing machine, they were like, get this tool off of this right now.
So, you were like, they were like me at the gym. This guy's not doing it right.
Yeah. So if you talk to me, you know, by the end of this summer, I'll probably have something good, because I'm going to be forced onto the water, which I'm actually excited to do for sure.
And so you do a lot of kayaking or stand-up paddleboarding. Do you often have to dodge out of the way of rowers? Do you get yelled at a lot by coxswains or scullers?
I really know. I mean, because most of what I do is on Lake Champlain, and where I am specifically is usually pretty choppy near where I live. So I haven't yet run into any, but I would definitely, you know, I would take an eight in my kayak for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Because I was going to say, if I was coxing, I would be sitting there like, look at this guy. He's kayaking in the middle of the lane. I'm just kidding.
Great.
And then how about... The one question that I know that you'll absolutely love to talk about is a craziest rowing thing you've ever seen, either of you.
Meredith's eight sinking might be on that list.
Eight sinking might still apply for that story, but I don't know if maybe you've seen like something happen, like, you know, maybe somebody passed out on an erg or something.
So I will say that, you know, I'm going to use this as a quick opportunity to defend the erg. So the ERG is the most hated and yet most loved piece of equipment.
Oh, I love the ERG.
Yes, and I hate it too.
I don't hear that often. So I do understand why rowers dislike the ERG or like to be proud to dislike the ERG. And a lot of it has to do with pride because they are judged by their time on 2K tests.
Yep.
There's two things about that. One is that a lot of people fail to praise the ERG when it's won them a seat or seat race.
Uh-huh.
And would love to see more of that, because really the ERG is a very strategic tool that helps a lot of people make teams. It's helped high school athletes gain scholarships who've never touched an oar, and it's easy to be a little skeptical of that, but that's a pretty amazing feat.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's really easy for us to be critical of non-rowers such as Jameson on his first time. But that being said, everybody started somewhere, and mm-hmm. a lot of technique we see out and about does not hurt someone. Sometimes, yes, the technique could hurt someone. Uh-huh. But things like rolling over the barrel or rowing over the barrel on the finish, that really won't necessarily hurt someone. So I feel like, you know, I'm here to promote rowing and the use of our indoor rower.
Yeah.
And rowers themselves kind of have an obligation to be positive about the sport, and it's really easy for us to think we're superior because we've done it for years. And, you know, so I do. I see lots of embarrassing things happen on the machine. But, you know, somewhat what can be more embarrassing is when I see people be overly critical when there's really no need. It's an awesome sport, and more people should be part of it. So
yeah, it's a great tool, really, because it's something, like you said, that it's won you a seat when you haven't been able to touch an oar. But then also, too, it's a way for the coach to correct stuff hands-on on land that they're doing, so that they can transfer that, you know, a bad habit into – they can translate a bad habit into a good habit and put it out in the water.
Sure. And again, ergs don't float. We know this, but that's also used as an excuse. So, you know, I think the indoor rower has done so much for rowing, and we should all be really positive about that. So, you know, I get it. I've had bad erg tests. I've had, you know, tough days where you dislike the machine because it's hard. But in the long run, it's really that shared experience of rowing that we can share with a much greater population than hands on a boat, even though I'm sure most of us prefer that.
Absolutely. And I will speak for Kate and myself in saying that we both love the erg. We do at some times dislike it, but we do love the erg. Because, I mean, sometimes when I just don't feel like going for a run or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to put my butt on the erg and I'm going to do my workout there. You know, so I personally am a huge fan of yours.
It's been great about promoting it. So we do appreciate it because the positivity is the thing that really gets us more excited.
The erg is your friend. And sometimes your friend is honest with you and tells you that maybe you suck. that's what I think.
that's
what I think.
And just to piggyback on that a little bit too, like I was trying to like kind of tenderly touch this subject of, so I'm on the phones a lot and email as well. And one of my favorites that I try to be patient with people is they say, how do I make the erg harder? Which clearly means they're not doing something correct.
Right.
You know, they let me know what damper they have it on. And again, you know, it's people might be overly critical there and like, oh, well, they shouldn't be on it if they can't figure out how to make it hard. You know, like with anything, it takes a little while to learn, but at the same time, it is comical to me because I'm yet to meet anyone that uses it correctly that says, I find the erg too easy, because there is no maximum. So until you've broken every world record in every category, you can't, you know, claim that yet.
Which there is a man in prison that has broken plenty of world records on the erg. So, I mean, prison can change people and they can make them love the erg. So, Meredith, I know that you're very excited about this. It says that, you know, do you still have all your rowing medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
So first, I love that you think I have a stash of them because just in many of the regattas I went to didn't have medals or, you know, I haven't come home with some. I do have some medals, and I once saw on Pinterest a neat idea because I didn't really know what to do with them. And this is true also for other medals, things like marathons and triathlons. There's a lot more participatory medals given. And I removed the ribbon, and at Christmas time, instead of ornaments, I have a bit of a brag tree.
So
I get to take them out, and I put hooks on them, and I use them as ornaments, and it's kind of a neat way to look at them and have them on display for a short period of time, and they look very ornamental.
Yeah.
And that way they're in a box most of the year, but it's pretty fun to take them out.
I love that.
She invites a lot more people over around Christmas time.
she invites everybody over and she's like, see all those golds? I brought silver and gold for Christmas. Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. No, I think I'm going to do that with all my medals now.
Yeah, and then the ribbons, if you really want to go all Pinteresty on this, make good, there's also good uses for those with gift wrapping, that kind of thing, because they're usually quite a quality ribbon. So.
Yeah, quite a quality ribbon, and also a good way to remind everybody how awesome you are.
Hey,
Merry Christmas, everyone.
On them, in the ribbon, that's a good way to do it, too. Yeah,
absolutely. That's really cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Jamison, any triathlon medals you've got?
My swim team medals from when I was 9 and 10 years old.
I do
have those at my parents' house still. Although my mom did use a gold medal or two to put on a teddy bear for my sister as a present for her. So some of my gold medals have been recycled to my sister.
And then I know you've only been doing this for about 7 or 8 months, but do you have any, obviously didn't do a Crash Bees last year. So you're looking to get what medal this
weekend? Yeah, I mean, the
weekend.
Open category
gold.
World record. Probably shooing for dead last, but if I can manage to set a world record or beat any of those, regular, to say the least, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, because I was going to say you're going to go for gold, but you already said that you're thinking that you're going to get beat by a couple people. So I didn't know if you were looking for participation or.
I just want a high five and a donut. So that's all
high five and a donut. And you know what? I think that's all everybody ever wants, right? That's the goal for everyone.
So.
A little tiny hammer.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
Much coveted.
Well, thanks so much. Did you have anything else, Kate?
We really appreciate you guys talking with us, and it's fun to really hear about this. Concept 2 is such a legendary company, and it's great. We really appreciate your time and talking with us today. And I really wanted to say to both of you, who's doing Crash Bees? Both of you? Or just Jamison?
I am not going to be at Crash Bees this year. I'm on an Olympic schedule, and this is my off.
Oh, okay, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Going for 2020 in Tokyo, right?
Absolutely.
I got to age up at least before I put my butt on the line again.
Well, we wish you so much luck this weekend at Crash Bees. And Meredith, you should be eating donuts and, you know, cheering
and giving Jameson
on
a high five.
Yeah.
Virtually.
I will bring the donuts.
Yeah, I was going to say, just at least bring him donuts. But good luck at Crash Bees this weekend, Jameson. And thank you guys so much for talking to us. Do you guys have anything that you'd like to plug?
No, I mean, you know, you guys did most of the plugging yourself. I mean, our website's a great tool, so thanks for nailing that. But no, we're just excited that you wanted to talk with us because, you know, doing social media, I get a good laugh out of all your, you know, memes that I get to see every day.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We'll send you your check in the mail for complimenting us. Just don't tell us if it bounces. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for being on today. And, you know, we'll continue to have correspondence with you. Maybe we can have you on another time. If you guys would like, if you guys hated it, sorry. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and we will see you guys out there.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Wayna Podcast. I'm Kate, and I'm with my host, Sam, and we just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in today.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, and just remember that Erg is your friend. Check out the websites for easy or hard or, you know, medium.
Yeah, Concept 2 website, great resource.
Also, if you're going to be participating in the Crash Bees, or if you already have, good luck, and hope you did well, and yeah, we'll see you guys out on the water.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked us out, we're on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Short and Snarky Rowing, and we have our book available on Amazon, Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing. Thanks for tuning in.
See you guys.
Last two strokes. That's one, two, way enough. Let it run. Blades down.